You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show.
Are these moves sexy? You know what was sexy last year, guys? Patrick Kane and Vladimir Tarasenko. What happened? Then you get bounced in the first round. And what happened to those guys? They're not on the team anymore. And then all Ranger fans are screaming for them to reacquire Tarasenko this year. So fans are going to live in the now. I get it. I'm not mad at them for it. But I think sometimes you got to pump the brakes on saying how much of are we willing to mortgage the future to try to go for it now. That's the danger of putting it all in on 1 year. And then, all right, that was it. Now we got to retool. And then you're stuck, and then the fans scream that they're not a playoff team anymore. So isn't it better to maybe get 3-4 kicks at the can than putting it all into one season and then possibly still coming up short?
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah! Hockey trade deadline, 3 o'clock Eastern time, right when we came on the air. So I, was debating with Don, why not go for it all and for the Rangers, and Don said the reasons why. Don't mortgage the future. It doesn't really enhance it that very much. I don't, if you enhance it a little bit, which they might have done with the moves that they made, I'm all for enhancement. I really am.
Yeah.
But I have one thing that we didn't cover at the open of the show, Don and Peter. Islanders kicked the Sharks' butt last night out on the West Coast. They're making a run. Why didn't they make a deal, Don?
I just don't know what they the collective feeling around them was. What were they willing to give up? What do they have to make that run? They're not a cup contender by any stretch, but to be able to solidify a playoff spot. Lou said that they were not a seller. It was either they're going to stay pat, or if something came to them that he thought was doable, they would do it. And I guess nothing really came that was going to move the needle. I didn't see anybody that was dealt that they could have been in on. So now we're just ride this out, see if they can make it. They're only, 2 points out of a playoff spot with a couple of games in hand on Tampa. They can make it. I don't know what the Devils did with Jake Allen. This doesn't make a ton of sense to me. They've got 19 games left. They traded Toffoli away, and now they go up and get a goaltender that's got an 890 save percentage to, try to get them in the playoffs? They're not going to make the playoffs this year. Now, he's under contract for only $2 million because Montreal picked up half of his salary. So they have a goaltender for next year for only what could be a conditional second-round pick depending on how many games he plays. Unless they feel that they're going to get a goaltender during the offseason and he'll be their backup, I don't really understand what they did there. But they obviously are selling off pieces. They're not going anywhere. So they traded Toffoli away. They've already fired their coach, which begs now the question, Michael, why didn't they fire their coach earlier?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a little bit of a mess over there, but they still have a very bright future. And the Islanders, I think, are going to make it, Michael. I do. I know Tampa made a little bit of a move getting Matt Dumba, but Philadelphia made some moves to kind of strengthen themselves a little bit. But Islanders got a winnable game tomorrow against the Ducks. They can make it 6 in a row, and I hope they find a way to get in there and make it. That'd be cool.
Peter, I didn't even tell you this, but I don't know if I told Don. I'm firmly planting my flag on Long Island.
Oh, you didn't tell me, but it makes sense.
I mean, first of all, Ledecky is so great and treats all of us so well. I'm planting the flag. I'm all Islanders. Let's go.
Okay.
And you know what? Their chant is yes, yes, yes. So it's all of my worlds combining.
What wrestler did they take that from, Peter?
Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson is his real name.
But they've made it their own. So what does that mean? You're 63 years old. I mean, exactly right. What does this all mean? Does that mean that you're going to have Charlie be an Islander fan?
You know what? You asked the perfect question. That's why you're great at this. Today, Charlie went to school, and he wore an Islanders jersey with K on the back of it.
Now,
that John Ledecky gave him when we went to the game on Saturday.
And Charlie's 8, correct?
No, he's not. He's 9.
Oh, so even more, because I believe the line is 8. Once you start making decisions on buying jerseys and rooting for teams, I think that there's enough knowledge now. All right, now you cement that. Lock him in. Charlie's an Islander fan. So let's see if he follows this through.
But he likes the Knicks. Can you be Knicks and Islanders?
Yeah, why not?
Plenty of people are.
They're different sports, last I checked.
You don't have to be nasty.
No, I'm not being nasty. I mean, I'm a Met Giant fan.
You think this will actually take, though?
I don't know. I mean, he's very particular about what he wears to school, and for him to put that jersey on today,
but remember,
told me something.
But remember, he's still rooting for him because it says K on the back.
Well, that's how I teach my children.
But what when you ask, will it stick? Will his love of the sport stick, or his love of the Islanders stick? Or you think he'll be a Ranger fan or Devil fan because he did like Huggis?
He did like Huggis. I think he still likes Huggis.
Like, could the Islanders actually stick, is what I'm saying.
It could. Yeah. I mean, if Ledecky keeps treating them like that.
Wow. What a standard at a young age. You know what I mean?
I know Nick. I know Nick and Islander fans. And you say that it's rare that I'm a giant Met fan. That's what Dave Rothenberg is.
Dave Rothenberg's out of his mind. He did a whole segment today on what we talked about yesterday. It was a 90-degree day. If Kay was walking around in a blazer, he would have passed out.
All right, so you don't wear the blazer, but it has to be a giant T-shirt? And right. How did he defend your mother? How did he defend with the 90 degrees of blame for that?
He said there's no defense to that.
Well, at least he
says
he knows
he's a little damaged. And he said, why are they talking about something that happened like 7 months ago? Because Rick brought it up yesterday. That's why.
We're in on his daily planner. I don't know what's going on in his daily life.
And we frankly don't care. But when something comes up that sends up a red flare that something's wrong with somebody that we care about, we make it a point to discuss it.
So if 7 months ago Ben was visiting Princeton, has he made a choice on where he's going to school?
I have no idea because, again, I heard more information that they were going to Philadelphia, but they stopped there to see the baseball facility at Princeton. I'm sure they talked to Scott Bradley as well. Please, you don't wear a giant shirt. Show some respect to an Ivy League institution. You don't wear a giant shirt on the campus of Ramapo. Come on.
No, but if I'm
an
taking
institute of higher learning.
Listen, if I'm taking Marco to visit schools, Ramapo or Princeton, I'm not wearing a giant T-shirt. I'm not wearing a T-shirt. I'm not saying you got to wear a suit, but can you look presentable? You're the father of a son that's trying to get into that school.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I understand it, and he jumps me. Oh, if you wore a sport coat, he'd pass out at night. You know what? I wear full suits doing Yankee games. When it's 95, I don't pass out. You know why? Because I'm in great aerobic shape.
So
that's not.
People get married in July and August.
I did it.
Okay to wear a T-shirt to a wedding?
And you look terrific. And it was an outdoor wedding, Peter. You didn't pass out.
No, I didn't. And you know what, though? I lucked out. As you recall, the weather, it really worked out for us.
You don't think that'd be a nice look, Peter? You get some nice khakis, a nice dress shirt, and you drape the jacket over your shoulder, and you walk with your son.
It would be
on
very
campus.
Ivy League.
Come on.
I mean, Pat McAfee, his thing is, the muscle shirt. So he has a very young daughter. So when she's old enough to, visit college, he's not going to wear that muscle shirt when he takes her to college.
You sure about that?
I mean, by the way, he doesn't even wear a muscle shirt now. I'm telling you, it's over.
Yeah, it's.
He's switched. He's into a T-shirt now. He's elevated from muscle. Whatever he was doing with the muscle shirt, that mission has been completed, and he is now into the T-shirt game.
All right, I'm gonna make a bold prediction. I think the muscle shirt comes back in the summer.
I think it's over.
This move didn't seem to be weather related.
Yeah, I think this was just a decision that was made. Well, and I think we don't see him go back to the tank top again. I won't say he'll never have a one-off, but it will never be his calling card again. That's my prediction.
So you're telling me, Peter, that management at ESPN had a choice to make. Do we get on him for ripping us on the air or get on the fact that he's got a tank top? All right, let's go all in on the tank top.
No, I don't think they said a word.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with the management. I think the tank top was like a man of the people vibe.
Okay.
That he did in the early years. Like, I'm a regular guy. Look at me.
Is that a regular guy look?
Now he's a multi-millionaire, all right? But he's already won over the regular guy. So maybe he goes, hey, time to graduate and put some sleeves on. I don't need it anymore. I already have
it. I got to tell you, that's a lot of thought for
something. But he only added like 5 inches of sleeves. It's still like a short sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah, I guess it's very gradual. He's hoping.
Can we be honest, though? Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
This is going to be a mouthful. Though it may only be a 5-inch difference, but it's about the most important 5 inches you could ever have. You know what I mean?
You know what?
Are we on the same subject?
Jacob just told me that he said he's bringing it back in the summer for a Bill Burr interview.
Oh, he said he'd bring it back for one interview?
Is that what it was, Jacob? One interview?
Oh, he said it during the Bill Burr interview.
Oh, so he's going to bring it back in the summer. As I said. Thank you.
Oh, well then you know what? You will be right. But I just want to say, you may say it's like only a slight difference, but short sleeve. But wouldn't you guys agree, in regular life, that is a gigantic difference? A person who wears a t-shirt and a person who wears a tank top out in public are vastly different people.
I think that when you're a multimillionaire, you can do whatever you want.
Michael, have you ever, not at the beach, in the street, ever worn a tank top?
No. I don't have the arms for it.
Don?
But Pat has defined arms.
See, here's the difference. I don't look at it as a tank top.
Yeah, it's not a tank top.
It's a muscle tee.
Why? Because it's even
because there's a lot
bigger.
Of material from the neck to the top of the shoulder. Tank top is just thin.
No, he doesn't have a lot of material from the.
No, I look. It's a muscle tee. You have no sleeves. So, but a tank top, it drapes over. I think it's a muscle tee. And the last time I wore a muscle
guys,
tee,
are you saying that there's cloth on his neck?
No, yes. I'm saying it just it's
no.
Just about
it loops down. He has skin and chain showing, and all the shoulder and side showing too.
But it's not a tank top.
It's not a tank top. It's a muscle
Anthony.
Tee.
Will you weigh in here, please?
I believe it's a muscle tee.
On what to call Pat's dress?
Yeah, is that a tank top or a t-shirt without sleeves? Question. That is a tank top.
It's almost for me. It's almost an undershirt.
Listen, what you're thinking of? There used to be a pejorative. Phrase for it.
Yeah,
we know.
We're not going to say it.
Right.
That's what a tank top is. He doesn't wear that.
I'd say, how's it working out for Pat?
No, we're just trying to narrow down what to call it. And to answer your question, last time I wore a muscle tee, I was 16. It was my, it was a Motley Crue t-shirt.
But you know how it's, you know what Pat would say? How's it working out for me?
I don't think it has anything to do with success.
No one's saying anything.
How's it working out for me is like it would mean that he's strategically doing this for ratings. I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Oh, I do think it was strategic. I think it was definitely strategic.
For
I don't know what for, but it did. He didn't accidentally stumble into it.
How is that going to help the success of the show?
I don't know, Dom, but he's doing something really, really well. So he obviously is smarter than me.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steve in Middle Village. Steve.
Wow, after all that, I'm surprised.
What?
That I'm on the air, but I'm in the middle. The reason why is I'm in the middle of doing taxes, so I don't even want to go into there. But I have a couple of quick takes. First is about Division I football. I'm not a fan, but with all the controversy about, I guess it's NILs and paying students and all these big coaches want to leave. All of these things, ESPN and the other networks will continue to pay the colleges. I think to clean up college football, all of Division I colleges should spin off their teams. Sell the name, whatever they are, the Cougars or whatever the Spartans or whatever they are, license or franchise the teams to independent owners. Because let's face it, college football is minor league football. It is. No one ever wants to say it. I'm from Brooklyn. I don't have a college team I root for.
People
but
say
that's
it,
what
Steve.
It is.
People say it. And okay. That's why the NFL doesn't have a minor leagues, because they have a free one.
That's fine, because I don't want to insult any college people who are listening. But what I would do is, they have to come up with some kind of organized thing where you can only have ages of certain you know, a certain age range. You can't have a 38-year-old playing for a franchise college team. The students, the people who are playing for the teams are not students. If you know, as part of the deal...
Yeah, but you know what, Steve, thank you. They like to pass it off. They like to have the thinnest connection to the colleges. Also, it makes the colleges money. Why are they spinning it off? It makes them money. It's not the worst idea in the world. You want to spin off, but what if some colleges can't spin off? There's 300 colleges. Yeah, you think there's going to be 300 people that want to own a college name? Now, if you want to just say, okay, the Big Five, those would be the... Well, then you're alienating the other colleges. And then you're going to have bidding with the owners to bring in kids? They want to have that thinly veiled connection that it is, in fact, an education. It's not. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I mean, in football, you could say, because at least they have to stay 3 years. In basketball, it's not. A kid goes for 1 year to a college. They don't even have to go to class. No,
but how, what a joke it would be to go. Where is it going? But I guess you got to keep up appearances, right?
That's exactly what they're doing. Let's go to Dave in Bayside.
Hi, hey, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, instead of ripping the Rangers for not making any trades, we're ripping the Islanders because this team was in the conference finals back-to-back just 3 years ago, and they've gotten nothing but worse since then.
But so who should we be ripping?
He said the Islanders for not doing anything.
And I'm an Islander fan.
But what did you want them to do?
Make the team better. This team is that we're barely going to make the playoffs, and this team was in the conference final just 3 years ago. What happened? It was back to back years too.
Right, and then it's the playoffs.
The Rangers have gotten better since they've been in the conference finals, and the Islanders have gotten worse.
But it was their deal to make that was going to make them that much better, where they were going to get back into the third round.
Oh, I heard they went on a guy from San Jose. That's what one of the papers was saying. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Tomas Hertl is apparently not even playing right now. So why would you want to get a guy that's hurt? Now,
also,
Vegas
John,
did it because Vegas is willing to have him play in the postseason. Why would you make a deal for a guy that's hurt?
And don't you think, Don, the Islanders actually think they're a good team that's underachieved? That's why they changed coaches.
Exactly. But at the same time, what deal was there to make? I don't think it's a good idea. Michael, we can argue about being all in. They still haven't even solidified a playoff spot yet. So how would it look if they go out and trade some future pieces and then not even make the playoffs? So, I mean, their big, bold move last year was Horvat. And why? They went out and got Horvat. What did they do, Michael? They gave him a contract because they didn't want a rental. So the Islanders are in a situation where they don't want to be trading things for guys that are going to walk. And there just wasn't anybody that was already under contract that they were going to be able to trade. So if something fell into their lap more, then definitely they would have done it. And I still think they can make the playoffs as presently constituted. But when you're not even in a playoff spot, are you going to mortgage the future to just try to, for grasping at straws, just to try to make it? Rangers know they're making it. It's a different story, but not for the Islanders.
And also, they made their big trade earlier, like you said.
Yeah.
That's
the kind of deal Lou's going to make.
Mark in New Jersey.
Hey, guys. Love the show. How you doing?
What's up,
Great,
Mark?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. So I got two Ranger points. The first one is in regards to Bruce, who called earlier and was on his soapbox before talking about Vladimir Tarasenko. Bruce failed to mention two very important things. Number one, they couldn't get Tarasenko because they traded for him last year and 50% of his salary was retained. You can't do that in the NHL where you acquire the same player 2 years in a row with salary being retained. So right off the bat, they couldn't acquire him. That was off the table. And on top of it with Tarasenko, he had a no-trade clause with Ottawa. His family lives in Florida. Ottawa had their hands tied where they had to deal in the Florida. That's why they accepted a crappy offer for a third and fourth round pick from Florida, because that's all that they were able to. Tarasenko could have vetoed any trade he wanted to. So Bruce was way off before with what he was saying. But on top of it, I just want to say I agree with Don 100%. You know, there's more parity in this league this year than there's ever been. I can identify 10 teams that could win the Stanley Cup, in my opinion. That means two of them aren't even going to make it out of the first round, like the Rangers did last year, when, oh, by the way, they went and got the big guys. They went and got Kane and Tarasenko. And look where it landed them, a seven-game exit in the first round.
Yeah, but, Mark, you know, I agree with the parity aspect, but you can, increase your odds. You'd have to agree with that. I'm not saying that they had to make a gigantic, but you can increase your odds just to say, well, let's sit pat because everybody's the same. Not everybody's the same.
Well, I don't think they were sitting pat, though. The problem is these teams, you know, for Gensel, yeah. They wanted us to give away Kako or Othman or maybe Gabe Perreault. That's our future. You know, and on top of it, you're talking about a division rival that you'd be dealing to. So now you're going to get a guy that's going to play for you for maybe 1 or 2 months, you know, or so. And then if you don't win the cup, now you're stuck with this guy's a free agent. He's going to leave elsewhere because the Rangers couldn't squeeze him in under the salary cap.
Okay, so let me stop you and ask you this question. What if they won the cup? Uh-huh. Would it be worth it then?
Of course it would but you got to
increase your odds, Mark, right?
But you're increasing your odds. But it doesn't guarantee you anything. And we also make Correct. It seem like they stayed pat. They didn't. They
but
got
there
Wenberg.
Are no
they
guarantees,
got Roslovic.
Don, but let me ask you this. You mentioned 94, they made all those trades, and then they went into a tailspin. Ask any Ranger fan, was it worth it? Was 94 worth it?
Yeah.
But hold on, Michael. In 94, a lot of those acquisitions were depth pieces. Brian Noonan, Stefan Matteau, the casual hockey fan didn't even know who those guys were when they got them. And now one of them, Matteau, is a Ranger legend
That's such a great point. Now, you know, Glenn Anderson, I mean, some of them were names, but they were depth guys. Why is Wenberg and Roslovic looked upon as not right. doing anything just because a lot of people never heard of them? For all we know, these could be contributors. Mark, if you remember, when they got Kopp and Vetrano, it wasn't like everybody was doing backflips. Meanwhile, those two guys were major contributors to them going to Game 6 of the conference final 2 years ago. Like, everybody wants the sexy move. For all we know, Wenberg and Roslovic may be major pieces to this team moving forward.
Right. And last year they went and got the sexy pieces, and look where it landed them.
That's what I said before, right. Kane and Tarasenko, as Peter likes to say, dead sexy. Patrick Kane, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, American-born players of all time. Tarasenko was a flat-out star in St. Louis. Bang, out in 7 games in the first round of the playoffs. You know, so sometimes it might not be sexy to Bruce and Flushing, but you know what? Maybe these guys are going to really help this team make a run. Maybe not. We'll see. I mean, nothing's guaranteed. You'd at least admit that, Michael. They could have been all in on this and still get bounced in the first round.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just like to incrementally increase my odds. But I defer to you, and you think they have a real good chance. But you also say Florida's much better. So you're giving away this year.
But why am I giving away this year when we've seen that once you go into that 7-game series, mm-hmm. nothing's guaranteed. Boston was the best team, literally the best team in the history of the regular season last year. Bounced in the first round. I mean, this sport does not, it's not the NBA. See, the NBA, you're pretty much assured. The Florida Panthers, if they're in the NBA, they're going to at least the conference final. Like, you'd be shocked, Peter. If Boston got eliminated in the first round, you'd be floored. That doesn't happen. Unless a major injury takes place, eights don't beat ones normally. But in the NHL, it happens all the time. So that has to factor into it as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The Devils made another trade. They traded Vitek Vanacek to the San Jose Sharks for Kaapo Kähkönen. That's according to Kevin Weeks. So the Devils made two trades.
Yep, and I think it's an audition for who's going to back up, I believe, Markstrom next year in goal, because their goaltending is an absolute mess.
All right, tomorrow's ABC Hockey Saturday matchup features Jake Guentzel and the Carolina Hurricanes against those New Jersey Devils on ABC and ESPN+. It's at 12:30. On the call of that game will be John Buchagross and our next guest, former Rangers captain Ryan Callahan. Ryan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing today?
What's going on, guys? I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing very well. We've been talking a lot about the Rangers and what they did and what they didn't do. A lot of Ranger fans have called up, a little bit upset they didn't make the big, sexy move. What do you think about the moves that they did make?
That sounds like Ranger fans upset they didn't make the big splash. And I mean, the way I look at it, last year they did, right? They went out and grabbed Tarasenko. They grabbed Kane. They made that big splash. And you know what? Sometimes it messes up the chemistry of a team. You know, and I think it did that a little bit last year. All of a sudden, guys that are playing in their top six forwards have to bump down. You know, your minutes are less. There's some upset guys. All of a sudden, you're not on PP1 anymore. So what they did and grabbed Wennberg and Roslovic and Rue Weedle on defense, I think those are great moves. Roslovic in particular, this guy has a lot of speed. I mean, you'll notice, you know, if you're not familiar with him as a Ranger fan, this guy can fly up and down the wing. He's a good player. So they had some depth pieces they can move around, right? So they don't disrupt that chemistry they have. They added a depth of D as well. So I think it's good moves from Drury. You know, you got to be happy if they're a good team that's in contention right now, right? So I don't think they needed an overhaul or to bring in as, you know, a Guentzel or somebody like that. I think they got players that can produce. They have the offense. And then obviously you got Shesterkin in net as well, right? So you always have a shot there. He's back to playing that style of game that we're used to seeing him. He struggled a little bit in the early years, or earlier in the year, but he's kicking it now. So I'm happy with it. You know, I don't think they needed to go out and make that big splash. And the depth guys and the guys they added, I think, are good pieces that will help.
I'm with you, Ryan. The one deal that was rumored that I think I might have given a shot at is Kako and a one for Vetrano and Henrique. Now, you'd have Vetrano for another year. Henrique would be a free agent. And I guess I can't kill Drury if he believes Kako is going to find himself. But would you have been tempted to make that deal?
It's tempting. Absolutely it is. You know, and you know, just off of the top of my head, I didn't hear that one going in, so I'm trying to digest it right now as you're saying it and thinking about it. You know, I think with Kako, too, is he's still young, right? You know, you look at some of these young players that come into the league, and it takes a little bit for them to pop. Not everybody jumps into the league and automatically makes that impact quickly. Takes some guys a little bit longer to adjust, and he's still young. You can see that he's got the stature and the size, and he's got the skill. He's got to kind of put that all together. I think he expects more out of himself offensively, and you know, I know Rangers fans do as well. So I still think he's got some runway there, but that'd be an interesting deal. I mean, you know, a guy like Henrique could bring him in, a veteran guy. Obviously, Ranger fans are familiar with him through his Devils days, and familiar with Vetrano, his time in New York. Yeah, that would have been interesting. That's definitely one I would have had if I was Drury. I'd have to sit down and work through.
All right, so let's talk, you know, concept, Ryan. We're talking about Ryan Callahan here on the Michael K. Show. You know, Don's been making the point you can't trade your future. And I make the point, and I'm not even talking about a specific deal, that when you have a chance at Stanley Cup, you have to grab it. You can't worry about the future because the future, it might not work out anyway. The future's a crapshoot. What's your take on that? Do you hold on to your assets rather than improve the team that you have right now by a lot, potentially by a lot?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you got to look, got to have an honest evaluation of where your team's at, right?
Okay.
You know, I think there's five teams that, you know, usually going into a playoffs, there's, you know, four or five teams that I think have a legit shot at, you know, what we can win a Stanley Cup this year. And if you're in that, if you look at your team and you're in that window or you're in that group of teams, sell the future, right? You know, you don't get to look at this every time. You know, you see what, you know, one thing you look at, you see what Vegas is doing, right? They did it again this year. You know, they see they have a group there that can win, and they're not shy to go out and sell their draft picks away, prospects away, to go get that big fish, and it's paid off for them. You know,
do you think the Rangers are in that group?
I do. Absolutely, I do. I think they're in that group. But in saying that, I mean, you don't go out to make a move just to make a move, right? You have to look at it and say, how does this star player or whoever you're going after, the big fish, how does he fit into our group? What does he do to our lineup? You know, where does he knock a guy down? How does he fit with our group? So, you know, I think that's the part where the Rangers looked at, and they tried that last year. You know, they did. They went out and got two big dogs last year, right? And, you know, they were knocked out in the first round. So, you know, I think Drury took maybe a different approach this year. Obviously, I don't know what he's thinking and what he was thinking, but just looking from the outside, I think he took a different approach of, hey, you know what? I went for the big dogs last year. Let's get some depth players, some guys that can move up and down the lineup that are going to be effective. But let's try to keep our top six intact. You know, they've shown now for 2 years that they compete with the best teams in the league.
The scary thing for me, Ryan, no matter who they went and picked up, if they don't get Zibanejad going 5-on-5, I don't know where they're going to go into the playoffs. How can they get more out of Zibanejad and Kreider as well, playing even strength?
I mean, you're not going to win if your best players aren't your best players. It's the bottom line, right? You know, so that's a part of it. Even if they went out and got somebody, they needed, you know, Zibanejad to start putting the puck in the net again like they're used to seeing. And, you know, everybody goes through spells and droughts throughout a year, and without knowing the health of Zibanejad right now, this could just be a slump of the year. And you'd rather him go through that right now in March, the beginning of March, than entering the playoffs or the first round of playoffs. And, you know, I think they're going to be fine with them, too. They both are veterans. They've been there before. They realize what's at stake. You know, so I look at that, and that doesn't worry me. You know, they're still in a great spot playoffs-wise, and you just want to make sure those guys are going, walking into April, you know, during game one of the first round.
So we're talking about the trade deadline, which was at 3 o'clock, and Ryan Callahan is our guest. And, you know, we move these pieces around, Ryan, like, you know, the thimble in a Monopoly game, but they're human beings, and you actually, you did this on March 5th of 2014. You were traded. What's that like to adapt to a new team when you went to Tampa Bay? How unnerving is it?
It's hard. It's very hard. You know, during that day, I remember Glenn Sather called me into the lounge at, you know, around 12 o'clock, told me I was dealt to Tampa, and I was on a flight that night, 7 p.m. to head to Tampa. And, you know, I got home, I tried to pack up my apartment as quick as I could. My wife's sitting there with our 2-year-old daughter. She's pregnant at the time, so I have to figure out what I'm going to do with the family. I tell her I'm leaving in 3 hours for the airport. I'll be in Tampa. You got to figure out how to close up this apartment. I'll try to find us a place once we get down there that we can stay and have you come down. So all that stuff is going on behind the scenes. I haven't gotten to the rink yet in Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even know where I'm going to fit in the lineup or chemistry with the guys used to a new organization, system, city. So there's a lot going on, and it's tough. And you can see sometimes guys don't adjust right away, right? You be a good player, come to a new situation, and he doesn't fit in right away. And then a lot of the times it doesn't have to do with what's going on at the ice. It's life that's going on the outside. And we interviewed Kyle Opozo at the trade deadline show today on ESPN, and we talked to him about, you know, his trade experience today, and he said, I got home and I have 3 young kids, and they got home from school at, you know, they had a half day at 11:30, and they come in the door, and I have to tell them that, you know what, daddy's going to Florida, you guys are staying here because you guys got to finish school, and I don't know when I'm going to see you again. We'll try to figure out when you guys can come down, and he's on a plane tomorrow and he's gone. So, you know, there's that human side of it that, listen, we make a lot of money living a dream to be able to play hockey, but You're still that human side of it, and it's hard to wrap your head around sometimes.
Now, as you mentioned, you got the game in Boston tomorrow, ABC, Penguins, Bruins, and there were all kinds of rumors surrounding Sidney Crosby. He's got a year left on his contract. They've tried to build around him to get one more shot. It hasn't worked. Would you ever, if you're Pittsburgh, consider parting ways with Sidney Crosby? And if you're Sid, would you maybe welcome a chance to maybe go someplace and win a cup before you retire?
Yeah, I mean, I think first you start off with if you're the organization, you're not doing anything with Sidney Crosby unless Sidney Crosby blesses it and wants to be moved and doesn't want to go through a rebuild if that's the direction they go in. You know, I don't think there's any way that you try to trade Sidney Crosby unless he's part of it. He's meant way too much to that organization, the cups he's won there. I mean, he is the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? You know, it's the face of the franchise. So I don't think you do anything if you're the organization. And on the flip side, if you're Sid, I think you got to take an honest look of, do I want to win again? You know, what direction is this team going in? He's obviously getting older, and this summer they went out and, you know, made some big moves, it looked like, to try to, you know, give them another shot at it, one more run at the cup, and it didn't work out. You know, and they trade away one of his good friends in Gensel and line mate that he played with for a long time. So it looks like they're going in that direction of, you know, trying to rebuild or maybe retool, you know, whatever you want to call it, on the fly. But there's going to be some interesting conversations for sure in Pittsburgh right now, and what they do with Crosby, if he wants to stay or he wants to go. Or I think you sit down and figure out what direction the organization is going in. And there's no question that this year, I think if you ask that organization, it's been a bit of a disappointment because they tried to make one more run at it, and it looks like they're not even going to make the playoffs.
I'm wondering that when the dust's settling, Ryan, who do you think is the best team right now? Who do you think is going to win the Stanley Cup?
You know, I think if you look at the East, the Florida Panthers for me is right now the team to beat. Probably playing the best hockey, I think, right now in the NHL. And they went out and grabbed Tarasenko, who obviously Ranger fans are familiar with. But, you know, as I talked about before, where guys fitting into lineups, you know, they had Cousins in their top six forwards where, you know, usually he's a third, fourth line guy. So there was a need there. You know, Tarasenko automatically goes and he plugs into that spot. You know, he becomes a top six forward right away for Florida. So they've gotten better now up front. So right now I think Florida is the team to beat. And then if you look in the West, you know, Colorado was always dangerous to me. They've made some big moves during the trade deadline here. And then obviously Vegas, they continue to go for it. And they made that huge splash right at the end of the deadline and bring it over Thomas Hurdle from San Jose. So once he's back, once he's in that lineup, and that's a dangerous group over there, and grabbed Hanifin too on the point, they might have the best top four defenseman in the NHL when Martinez comes back and he's healthy. So I think Florida, Colorado, Vegas are probably top three for me.
And the first game of the doubleheader is going to be the Hurricanes and the Devils in New Jersey. Huge step back after what happened last year. How do you feel about them moving forward?
A very bright future for New Jersey. I really feel that way. They have a core of young players there that are going to continue to grow. I think the big thing for me looking at that team is they have to learn from this experience. Obviously, they had a lot of expectations coming on them coming into this year after having the season last year being the Rangers in the first round, and they didn't handle those expectations very well. Goaltending was a huge part of that. Injuries were a huge part of that. But I think they have to learn from this and continue to grow. And I think this is just part of the path of them getting better. And but I would like to see them maybe add a little bit more sandpaper to their lineup as well. You know, they got a lot of guys that are kind of the same forwards and Hughes and Brad and Timo Meier, very skilled, unbelievable players that you want in your lineup. But maybe a little bit of sandpaper in that lineup, and obviously goaltending, which is probably number one priority in the offseason for them. And they'll be back to where they need to be next year, I think.
And how do you feel about the Islanders' chances at this point?
Pretty good. You know, that this Islanders team, they're pesky. They're not going anywhere. And, you know, you look, they're, could be wrong, but I think they're 4 points back with two games in hand to Tampa right now, who seems to be, you know, losing their footing. So they're right there in that playoff spot.
Yeah, 2 points back, actually.
Close at 2 points, is it? Yeah. 2 points with one game in hand. I knew they were tied with them with Gaiden in hand if they were to win it. So, they're right there, and there's nobody to jump, right? So you look at some of these teams, like, you know, everybody did the game last night for the Devils, and they're talking about playoffs maybe, and you get to a spot where you have to jump all these teams. You might be close points-wise, but it's hard to jump those teams where the Islanders are right there. They just got to catch, you know, Tampa, maybe Philly, if Philly slips up here down the stretch. But Patty Waugh's got them playing a good brand of hockey right now. You know, they're tough to play against. A lot of veterans on that team as well, which is going to help them down the stretch here, try to fight for a playoff spot. So I could see them being in it, absolutely, at the end of the day.
And Don was mentioning earlier how the eighth seed in hockey, it's not like the eighth seed in another sport. When you're on a team that's fighting to get into the playoffs, if you do sneak in, do you have that in your mind that, like, hey, in hockey, if you get in, you could go all the way?
Yeah, I mean, no better example than the Florida Panthers last year, right? They go up against the Boston Bruins, who had the best regular season in NHL history, and they take them 7 games, and they beat them, and they end up going to the Stanley Cup Finals. So it's definitely set in those rooms when you're the underdog going into series is, you know, it's a long 7-game series. Any team can beat anybody. That's what makes the NHL playoffs the best, right, is you never know who's going to win a series. The ups and downs through the 7 games, the physicality, the injuries people are dealing with, I might be a little biased, but I definitely think it's the best playoffs in sports.
All right, Ryan, before we let you go, whenever I do games, Yankee games with Paul O'Neill, I'm the beneficiary of people sending him food. You're doing a game with Buchagras. Do you get chicken parmesan leftovers? Is that the way it works in the booth?
Chicken parm all the time, and I love chicken parm. So anytime I can work with Bucci, I'll take it. Absolutely. There's chicken parm everywhere we go. So it's a good perk, right?
I'm telling you, I might drop by and say hello one day. That sounds great. I love chicken parm, too.
Always invited.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Have a great day.
Awesome, guys. Thanks.
Thanks,
all
man.
Right, so that's Ryan Callahan. It's the Devils and the Hurricanes tomorrow, ABC Hockey Saturday, and it's on ABC and ESPN Plus starting at 12:30. So, Callahan, good guest for us, breaking it down. The trade deadline, 3 o'clock, right when the show began. We'll get to your phone calls and all the other important stuff in sports as well. But first, I want to tell you, when I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and, of course, my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle, and neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea. Take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea. Join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, the Garden of Laughs returns to the theater at MSG on March 27th, benefiting the Garden of Dreams Foundation. The all-star comedy lineup features Bill Burr, Michael Che, Chris DiStefano, Jim Gaffigan, Heather McMahon, Tracy Morgan, Sam Morrill, and Jon Stewart. And is all hosted by Steve Sciarippa, who will join us in studio on Monday, this Monday, to talk about this event. Support the Garden of Dreams Foundation and have a great time doing it. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Please do that. Be a great night. I have been to the Garden of Laughs. It's tremendous. Time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Jason Dominguez making strides. He's going to start hitting from both sides this weekend, and he's throwing up to 75 feet. Remember, it was the end of the season when he got the Tommy John surgery. So it's pretty amazing time frame that they're looking for him to be back mid-season. But, you know, if they could push that up a little bit, it'd be interesting to see what they do, how they maneuver. I think a lot of it's going to come down to what kind of production they get out of DH. Because if you bring back Dominguez, you're bringing back Dominguez to play every day, which means that somebody has to sit down. Judge ain't sitting down. Soto's not sitting down. In all likelihood, Verdugo's not sitting down. So it comes down to if Stanton is struggling, then Stanton's sitting down. And if Stanton's not struggling, you know what, Don? Dominguez goes down to the minor leagues. I know everybody get excited. You know, his first at bat, he hits a home run. I get all of that. And he's the future for the Yankees. But if Stanton is hitting, Dominguez goes down to the minors. He's still a kid, and they'll put him in the minors.
His best chance of playing in the second half is if Stanton's done or hurt.
Right.
And I don't know what to think of Stanton, honestly. Will, with less at-bats, will he be more productive in those at-bats and be able to stay healthy and then come playoff time be a real, like, legitimate weapon? Or is this a guy that's going to have two different stints on the IL? I would think less games would help him.
Well, I don't think they pencil him in, Don, for 150. But if they could get 120 games out of him, I think they would love it. You know, so far in spring training, and you know I'm not a big what are you doing in spring training guy. He's been awful. He hasn't done well at all. But again, that's just a veteran guy who's tweaking a little bit of his game. And so I'm not looking for production right away. So if I can't get upset about Carlos Rodon not putting up great numbers, I certainly can't get upset about Stanton. And neither is LeMahieu. He's not putting up big numbers either. These are just veteran guys getting ready for their season. But we'll see. Well, I mean, if he starts off hot, they ride him. See, that's my thing with all of the older guys that get hurt. You keep resting them, even when they're hot. They're not going to last the whole season anyway, in all likelihood. So ride them while they're hot. So if he's hot, come when Dominguez can come off the IL from the Tommy John surgery, Dominguez goes down to AAA. It's that simple. Nobody wants to hear it, but that's the case. Because you want Dominguez to be ready next year if Soto leaves.
Right.
Because Verdugo's a free agent too. So two-thirds of your outfield leaving, in all likelihood. Now, the Yankees want to keep Soto. I don't think they're going to re-sign Verdugo. I mean, there's just almost so much money you could spend, and you have depth in the outfield with Dominguez and with Spencer Jones. So they're trying to get the best they can out of Verdugo in a walk year. They want to keep Soto long-term because he's 25 years old. But, you know, Dominguez just has to be ready for 25.
And why would you force it with a kid coming off Tommy John if you're not desperately in need of it?
Right.
Last year was a unique circumstance. We didn't even think going to the year we'd see Dominguez last year necessarily.
Although Michael Kay told you early that you might.
And then the way the season played out, of course, it made sense. And then, of course, he was amazing and then gone.
Just like that.
By the way, we didn't even include that. Don, we didn't even include that. In our list of New York injury curses, we didn't even include that the second we get this kid who's supposed to be this generational talent we've never seen, we got him for like a really exciting 2 weeks, and that was it.
And Michael said it. He was really the one young kid they brought up that was productive.
Although you started to see more from Wells toward the end. He struggled at the beginning. And now with Peraza, and they did an MRI yesterday, guys, on the shoulder. Today they did a dye contrast. All of that doesn't sound very promising to me. No. So I wouldn't bet. And then it was reported today by Joel Sherman that the Yankees made a $4 million offer to Ahmed Rosario to be their backup infielder. He took 1.5 from the Rays because he wants to play a lot. With the Yankees, he might not play a lot. So the Yankees have made an offer to Kike Hernandez, who took the Dodger offer because he thinks he's going to play more, and Rosario, and he took the Rays offer because he thinks he's going to play more. So the Yankees still looking for backup infielders. Right now, it's Oswald Cabrera and who? Because if this kid is going for a dye contrast, that doesn't sound great. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. We would also like to congratulate a friend of ours who does a soccer podcast with our former producer, Andrew Gunling, and that's J.J. Devaney.
Mm-hmm.
He just became a U.S. citizen today. I know it means the world to him. So congratulations to JJ.
That is very nice.
Yeah.
Proud.
Now he can have the same passport as his child.
That's right.
He's now an American.
That's right. Beautifully said. Congratulations, JJ.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.